Thanks, Michael. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. It's great to see you here at 11 o'clock at Barney's. Before we start, I actually just wanted to say a couple of thank yous in some ways. Not everyone actually that I'm saying thank you to comes to this particular congregation, but I guess the first thank you is to say thank you to Javard, otherwise known as Amir, who did the courtyard. And it's turned from brown to green, which is very exciting. So a big thank you, which took a lot of work, as well as those who helped out at the sausage sizzle yesterday with the election day, especially to Peter Brockington, who coordinated that. But I know that was quite a few hands who were helping out and setting up and cooking. I was talking to the person who coordinated it from the Australian Electoral Commission. We had around 1,000 people come through, and so that was very exciting to actually have people come through church and to be greeted with a warm smile and also a sausage sizzle at the same time. And so thank you for all the people who are serving in different ways. Now let me grab... clicker. Back when I was in high school, one of my friends gave me the cutting of a particular type of plant. From what I understood, it was a special plant, it was a Chinese plant that would have these bright white flowers, and you could use the flowers to make tea. And so when I went over to his place, he cut me off a leaf, and the idea was to plant that, and so I did that. I took the leaf home, I put it inside of a pot, filled it up with dirt, and the leaf was there. And I looked after it, I watered it, I made sure it had sun. My friend used to put eggshells into the pot, and so I did that, put some food scraps in there as fertilizer, and so I did all of those things, and after a while, it started growing. And back then, I was a boy in year 8, and it was exciting. Here I was, I created life in some ways. I was waiting for this plant to grow, for that flower to come, and so I was waiting for a month, and for 2 months. And that became 6 months and 12 months, and still there was no flowers like I saw in my friend's plant. I waited for longer, but after a while, the plant stopped growing. It was alive, but nothing really happened. It grew to around this height, and then it just froze in some ways. It didn't get any taller, and there were still no flowers, even though I was expecting it. Now, after a while, being in year 8, I got a little bit bored of this. Every now and then, I would put a food scrap, another eggshell, into the pot plant. But otherwise, there was no change. There was nothing. Sat around for around 3 or 4 years until eventually my parents threw it out. And I raise that story because I think for a lot of us, or for some of us at least, that's a decent description of our Christian life. It doesn't seem to do anything. That there's no change, there's no results, not any that you can see anyway. Now, John chapter 15, that was read out for us. It is a great passage about being fruitful, having a Christian life where something does happen. And it's a great answer to having half-hearted discipleship. Because here in John chapter 15, there are only two kinds of genuine believers. There's a productive Christian, and there's an even more productive Christian. You see that there in verse 2. There's a Christian who is fruitful, and the Christian who's even more fruitful. That's the picture of a genuine believer. At the heart of it is our relationship with Jesus. Now, we're looking at verses 1 to 17, and in some ways you can split that into two sections. Verses 1 to 8, we get the metaphor about the vine and the branches. And then verse 9 to 17, Jesus explains the metaphor, and he unpacks it for us. Now, the overall message is pretty clear. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and just like branches of a vine, we should bear fruit. God's people bear fruit. We should be productive as Christians. We're going to be looking at three things as we look at these verses. What does it mean that Jesus is the vine? How do we be fruitful? And what kind of fruit are we talking about anyway? So what does it mean? How do we bear fruit, and what kind of fruit? That's where we're heading. Why don't we pray and ask God to be with us as we take a look at God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning that you've given us, that we can come together as your people. We pray, Lord, that as we look at John 15, that you might really speak to our hearts and minds, that you will convict us of the areas where we need to be changed and challenged, and that you will encourage us with what we hear about Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Now remember where we're going in terms of the series. We're looking at the second half of John's Gospel. And John chapter 13 to 17 in particular, this is the night before Jesus is crucified. And so Jesus is with his disciples. They're in an upstairs room and he tells them what's going to happen before it happens. And he says to them, I'm going ahead to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. And we saw last week, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And here in chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the vine. I am the vine. Now, when Jesus says that, he's not just picking up some random illustration. The idea of the vine, it is rich in the Old Testament. See, in the Old Testament, Israel are the people of God. They're the ones that God has chosen to be his. And Israel is often pictured as a vine. It's a vine that God plants. It's a vine that God looks after. And so in Psalm chapter 80, the psalmist says to God about Israel, you transplanted a vine from Egypt. That's Israel. When God took them out of Egypt, you cleared the ground for it, and it took root, and it filled the land. Israel is a vine. Now, the problem is, every time we come across Israel as a vine in the Old Testament, Israel is a failure. The picture of a vine is a picture of failing. They'd been given so much, but there was nothing to show for it. There was no fruit. Morally, they were decaying. Spiritually, they were corrupt. In the prophets, we see that time and time again. Jeremiah calls Israel a vine which is wild and corrupt. Isaiah, instead of there being good grapes on these vines, there is only bad grapes. In Ezekiel, the vine is useless. It's only good for fuel for the fire. And so it's against this background that what Jesus says here is really significant. Jesus says in verse 1, I am the true vine. I am the real vine, the genuine vine. What Israel was supposed to be, the people of God bearing fruit, it hones in and it narrows down to Jesus. He is the real vine. He is the true people of God who always obeys. And so now, being the people of God, it's not a matter about being Jewish or being a descendant of Abraham. It's being connected to Jesus. It's being part of the true vine. He's the true people of God. He's the vine. And if our trust is in Jesus, we become the branches. Now, if he's the vine, what does that mean for us? What does it mean for us to be the branches? Now, if you're a farmer and you own a vineyard and you look outside and you see the vines, what do you want to see there? You want to see grapes. You want to see fruit. And so that's why Jesus says seven times, bear fruit. Bear fruit. That's what you're supposed to do. Now, do you see also what Jesus says is the alternative to bearing fruit? What it looks like is if you don't bear fruit. It's quite a scary description. In verse 2, God the Father, he's the gardener. And in verse 2, God cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. And in verse 6, the branches that are not part of the vine, what happens to those branches? They get picked up, they're thrown into the fire, and they are burned. This is serious. It's scary stuff in a lot of ways. There's only two options here. It's either or. Either you're a Christian or you're not. You're a living branch or you're a branch which has fallen off. It's become dead. Either you're part of the vine and you're bearing fruit, or you are firewood. Now, I wonder if we sometimes fall into that trap. We think there's a middle ground somewhere between not being a Christian, being a serious Christian, and I sort of want us to be somewhere in the middle. There is no room here for being a nominal Christian, where you go through the motions and you pick and choose. What does it mean for me to be a Christian? I'll listen here, but I don't really want to take this part seriously. Christianity becomes a habit or a hobby. I wonder if we can be like that. We call ourselves Christian. We come to church. We might even go to growth group. We look good on the outside. We can tick all the boxes. But when it comes to being fruitful and being productive as a Christian, growing as a Christian, it's not really there. Now, these verses are not saying we are saved by works. It's not saying that you can be good enough or if you can bear enough fruit, then you're saved. It's not saying that. But if there is no fruit, if there is no sign of living for Jesus, we need to watch out. There is a warning here to make sure that you're growing, make sure that there is fruit. The question is then, coming to the second point, the question is how? How do we bear fruit? How does this happen? Where does it come from? And these verses give at least two answers to that question. How do we become fruitful? It happens through pruning. That's the first one. Now, the idea of pruning is that you get some sharp scissors or you get a knife and you cut off the different parts of the plant, maybe the parts that are dying or that are going the wrong way, the parts that are not the way that it should be. You cut those parts off so that the plant starts to grow and it becomes healthy. And that's what God does for us. Verse 2. Every branch that does bear fruit, God prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. See, even the fruitful branch, even the fruitful Christian is pruned. And sometimes that is going to hurt. It does involve suffering. There is a knife in the Christian life. That's what Hebrews chapter 12 says. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. It's painful. But later, it produces a harvest of righteousness. Now, friends, what that means is that when you face suffering and when you are going through hard times, don't be discouraged. Suffering is not necessarily because you've done the wrong thing. It's not necessarily a sign of God's judgment. Sometimes it is. But sometimes it's God's way of getting rid of the dead wood in our lives, cutting off that dead wood of pride and independence, being impatient, cutting off everything that needs to be cut away so that we can be more like Jesus. And so if you are a Christian, and it feels like maybe even right now that you're under the knife, life is hard, remember that the knife is in safe hands. And the gardener is the God who loves us. He's not setting out to wound us or to deny us anything good. He does that to bless us and to bring an even greater good, to make us more fruitful and to make us more like Jesus. Now, we need to make sure that we've got that clear in our head so that when the hard times come, we know that God prunes us. We're fruitful by pruning, but we're fruitful by staying in Jesus, remaining in Jesus. Verse 4, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. 11 times Jesus says, remain, remain in the vine, remain in me. If you look at the ESV, it talks about abiding in me. If you want to be spiritually productive, and I hope you want to be as a Christian, if you want there to be fruit, stay grounded in Jesus. Now, this is how Don Carson puts it. He says it involves being continuously dependent, constantly reliant, persistently imbibing in the life of Jesus, always being connected, always trusting. We're only productive if we've got a personal, an organic and intimate relationship with Jesus. Once we get cut off, once we're not connected, it falls apart. Now, I had a bedside light that was on the bedside table. It was a light for nighttime. It had a bad connection. And so whenever I plugged into the power socket, it didn't connect properly. It would flicker. Sometimes the power was on, sometimes it was off. It would be connected, it wouldn't be connected. And we can do that with Jesus. That sometimes things are a little bit on and off. So when things are bad, sometimes we need Jesus. And so we pray to him. We ask for his help. But then when everything goes fine again, we switch things off. You go back to normal. And we ignore Jesus, we forget about him until the next time we need him again. And friends, that should not be the case in our Christian lives. Did you see verse 5? Jesus says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Do you realize how much we need Jesus? Because I reckon we see how much we can get away with. That's often what we try to do. But we want to say, well, I'll do a little bit of the Christian stuff, but I'll see how far I can really live my own way. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. And we say to ourselves, I know that I should pray, but I don't have the time. I'm too tired. I don't even think about it. I'll do it next time. And I find that I can do that. Or when it comes to reading the Bible, I know that I should read the Bible, but I've got all these other things that I need to do. It's okay to not read today, not read tomorrow, or to read next week, maybe even this month. I'll hear the Bible on Sundays. That'll be enough. Going to church, meeting up with Christians, going to growth group. We see what we can get away with. And sometimes all of a sudden we're surprised why we are dry as Christians and why we're not growing as Christians. If we're not walking with Jesus, if we're not living with Jesus, abiding in him, it's like a car without a motor or that light without electricity. It doesn't work. The picture here are branches that are stuck to the vine. And it's his power, his energy, his life that bears fruit in us. If you want to grow as a Christian, don't do that flicking on-off switch thing. Jump all the way in. Don't hold back. John 15, maybe this is a wake-up call. And I think it is for me. To make sure that we are constantly depending on Jesus. Now, just quickly, the last point then. So what is the fruit that Jesus is talking about? Well, what's the fruit that he's saying here? In a sense, it's actually everything that shows that we are disciples of Jesus in verse 8. It brings glory to the Father. But then Jesus actually talks about four things that's involved in being the fruit that should be on show here as Christians. The first one is that it means obedience. Verse 10. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. It means the fruit of obedience. Now, when our son Zach was 3 years old, he was a cute little kid, but like all kids, sometimes he was naughty. And when he was naughty and he got into trouble, straight away he'd say, "Daddy, I love you." Now, that's kind of sweet, but if you're a parent, you know that that's not quite right. And so I used to say to him, "If you love me, you will listen to me." It's the same with Jesus. If we love Jesus, we will obey him. Are there areas in your life where you know you are not obeying? Maybe it's an area of godliness. Maybe it's going to church. Maybe it's serving at church. Maybe it's giving to church. The fruit of obedience, but it also means to love people, the fruit of love. Verse 12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. To obey means to love. And then Jesus gives us the standard, it's to lay down your life like he does. Now that is a big call. It is not easy. See, it's easy to be polite to people. It's easy to ignore people. It's easy to be nice to people, but then not care about them afterwards. But it is hard to love people. And not just to love your husband or your wife, your best friend, to love the person that you find frustrating, to love the Christian who is struggling, to love the newcomer who is new to church, the fruit of love. Obedience, love, and joy. Verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. See, sometimes I think that we think that the Christian life is boring and dull and we're missing out. That somehow that there's it's something that we have to do. That is completely upside down. Being a Christian is the good life. It is how we are designed to live. And we get to call God our Father. And did you see what it says in verse 15? Jesus doesn't just save us and we become his slaves or his employees. We become his friends. There is joy as a Christian. And lastly, it means mission. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. The picture here is mission going out, people being saved, our friends being saved. And Jesus does that through us because this vine is supposed to grow. And being fruitful means talking to people about Jesus. I was reading an article half a year ago. Back in November last year, there was an Australian who was awarded the Guinness Book of Records for having a tree that had the most kinds of fruit attached to it. See, this one tree, it actually grows 10 different kinds of fruit. And it's because he's grafted all these different trees onto it. And so this tree has got nectarines and peaches and apricots and almonds and cherries. It's a weird tree, this. But in some ways, that's a Christian. In John 15, we get this beautiful picture of Jesus and us. He's the vine and we are the branches. He's what God's people are supposed to be. And this life, it flows into us as the branches. We live in him and he in us so that we can be productive in our Christian lives. I've got a friend who doesn't go to this church. He calls himself a Christian. But when I look at his life, I don't see any fruit. It doesn't shape his marriage. It doesn't shape the way that he approaches his work. Work dominates his life. And I pray that he knows Jesus. That discussion question that we talked about earlier, how productive do people want to be? Do they want to become more productive? What about you as a Christian? What did you say in terms of, do you want to be more productive as a Christian? Because I know other people who actually go to this church, someone who gives generously because he wants to give to Jesus. That's great fruit. Somebody who's actually realizes he's been doing the wrong thing and he's repented of that. He's confessed his sin and he's changed. That is exciting fruit. Somebody I know that is telling people about Jesus, even though he doesn't feel confident knowing how to do that. Somebody who does the small jobs around church and nobody notices because he just does it quietly. A couple of people who've actually drawn boundaries when it comes to work so that they are working less, even though it means less pay. Because God comes first and serving is important. It is exciting to see fruit in the lives of a Christian. Now, you might be here and you're struggling, you're going through a dry patch. You look at your life and you think, oh, I don't think there is much fruit. If that's you, don't leave it at that. Please send me an email or see me afterwards. Maybe today is the day that God actually wants you to start growing. And for the rest of us, Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. How are you going in that? Are you being fruitful? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word to us. And we pray that your spirit might be at work in us through your word, that today might be a wake-up call, if that's what we need, to actually make sure that we are living the right way and to shake off some of that dust and to actually want to live fruitful lives for you. We pray, Lord, for those amongst us who are struggling. We pray, Lord, that you will grow them and feed them and water them to bring them on track and to realize the joy that is ours to be connected to the true vine. We pray, Lord, that you might do a good work in us, that we as Christians, that we as a church here at Barney's, that we might be productive for Jesus, even if it means hard choices. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.